Bhagavatam, Canto 1, Chapter 10, Text 17.
So his friends like, at that time Arjuna, the great warrior and conqueror of sleep, who is the intimate friend of the most beloved Supreme Lord, took up an umbrella which had a handle of jewels and was embroidered with lace and pearls. Gold, jewels, pearls, and valuable stones were used in the luxurious royal ceremony. They are all nature's gifts and are produced by the hills, oceans, etc., by the order of the Lord. When man does not waste his valuable time in producing unwanted things in the name of necessity, by so-called development of industrial enterprises, they are now using pots of gutta percha instead of metals like gold, silver, brass, and copper. They are using margarine instead of purified butter, and one-fourth of the city population has no shelter. Nama Om Vishnu Padaya Krishna Vrindaya Bhutale Dhimane Vakti Shanta Rami Shinamide Namaste Parvati Deve Saurani Vataye Nirvishita Sundhavali Lord Krishna. Before that, we are prepared and hearing about the Narada Muni, how he has practiced yesterday on the need of not exclusively glorify Lord Krishna. But in the seventh chapter, Lord Krishna actually appears on the stage. I do not know how much we are all aware of classical drama, the format of theater, which has certain classical rules which are accepted by all dramaturgs, even transcendental drama writers like Rupa Goswami observe this rule. The rule is that the main person who appears on the drama is first introduced by a Shruti Dara in an indirect way. Verses are given in glorification of this person, so that finally the audience wishes to just have this person appear on the drama, on the stage. When he comes, there everyone is well prepared, and it is just very steady. It's an emotion of emotional outburst. Ah, he is there. So it's the same way. Lord Krishna is appearance of the Bhagavatam, is the pages of the Bhagavatam, is prepared. So that when finally he appears in a very difficult situation for his devotee Arjuna, the audience is prepared and just feels relieved. Oh, he came, finally he came, and he has appeared. The difficult situation is, of course, the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, where the Pandavas have won the kingdom, almost won the kingdom, but then everything, which is the whole result of the battlefield, is in great danger because this Ashwatthama is attacking with a lethal weapon, deadly weapon, and is threatening to wipe out all the Pandavas. But in the very last minute, where the tension is very high, Lord Krishna appears. Krishna, Krishna, Mahabaho, Prakthana Mahayankara. Meaning, Krishna, you are Mahabaho, full of strength, and Prakthana Mahayankara, you can take away the fear of material existence from your bhakta. This is how Krishna is introduced in the pages of Srimad Bhagavatam. So then, a little later, we hear how Lord Krishna again wants to leave. He goes to wants to go to Dwaraka, and there are about the Lord tries to leave three times. But the devotees do not allow him to leave because they are so attached. And we hear a little bit about Krishna Bhakti in these chapters, which is all about attachment to Krishna. And we should review the 14th verse of this chapter. It goes like this. The female relative whose eyes were flooded with tears out of anxiety for Krishna came out of the palace. Krishna wants to leave, and now his devotees come out of the palace. They could stop their tears only with great difficulty. They feared that the tears would cause misfortune of the time of departure. Is this a heart-moving scene? The Madhavis are there, The eyes are flooded with tears because Krishna wants to leave, gets ready to leave. But then they think, oh no, if I cry, and at the time of departure, this is very inauspicious. So they go like this and suppress their tears. What a wonderful scene of bhakti! What a wonderful glimpse in the idea of bhakti! Vishnu moves in two departments. Bhakti will move back and forth between these two departments. This is meaning, this is described by Rupa Goswami in the Nectar of Devotion. Bhakti Ratnamrita Sindhu, for him, Bhakti Ratnamrita Sindhu. Bhakti moves in meeting. We have now all met Krishna in the seventh canto. And then it goes to the department of separation. And the feeling for Krishna actually are more. Then again it comes to meeting, separation, like this. The current of bhakti flows. This is what we have heard so far. It's just in, let me say, it's in reference to this verse. Now, my dear devotees, I wish to address you on a subject matter which is very, very close and very necessary. We have heard now about attachment to Krishna. In the Adi Purana, Lord Krishna describes to us in which way this attachment to Krishna will come. He says, he said that someone who directly said, he's my devotee,
not my lord.
Someone, however, who says he's the devotee of my devotee,
he is my lord.
Krishna, in other words, wants to be approached through his devotee. This is his specialty. And today, I wish to hear, speak a little bit about this approaching Krishna through his devotee. In the Bhagavad, in the fourth canto of the Bhagavad, we hear of the Prachetas, the brothers who set out to find the absolute truth. They went to Lake Manasarova at the foothills of Kailash, and there they met Lord Shiva, who instructed them in one beautiful prayer through which they attained perfection. A wonderful the Shiva Gita. So a little later, in the fourth canto, we again hear how the Prachetas have attained perfection. That is, the Supreme Lord has revealed himself to them. And Krishna speaks to the Prachetas, something which is of great importance to our subject today. The subject being approaching the Lord to his devotee. Sri Bhagavan Vacha Varam Vinatam Patram Ho Yujam Me Panandana Sohanina Pitakdana Sushuham Satsvinena Kuma. Please listen very carefully. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, my dear sons of the sea, I am very much pleased by the friendly relationship among you. All of you are engaged in one occupation, devotion and service. I am so pleased with your mutual friendship that I wish you all good fortune. Now you may ask a benediction of me.
The Lord says here that He is happy that the Prachetas don't quarrel. They have, or let us say, they have a unity in devotional service. They have mutual friendship. Prabhupada writes, the unity of the individual soul attempting to satisfy the Supreme Lord or render service to the Lord, that is real unity. In the material world, such unity is not possible. Even though people may officially unite, they all have different interests. In the United Nations, for instance, all the nations have their particular national ambitions, and consequently, they cannot be united. Then he says something which will most probably enter like a burning spear into your heart. This unity between individual souls is so strong within this material world that even in the society of Krishna consciousness, this is us, by the way, members sometimes appear disunited. Due to their having different opinions and leaning towards material things. Actually, in Krishna consciousness, there cannot be two opinions. There is only one goal, to serve Krishna to one's best ability. So, here, if we learn how important it is to have unity among devotees, or even here goes so far as to say, Krishna says, I'm very much pleased by the friendly relationship amongst you. You know, friendly relationship. Of course, it is by now obvious that in our international attempt to become Krishna conscious, it is difficult to be united. A sociological observation of our movement will tell us that the members are sometimes struggling, even unsuccessful, to reach a consensus and unity. This is human nature, we are informed. Because it's a material world, one person can never agree with another person. Because due to the material individuality and differences. Now when such souls from the material world attempt the great adventure of Krishna consciousness, Prabhupada describes it as the Vedic adventure to become attached to Krishna, our material nature will cross our wills, as one says in German. They will not be agreeable. Why? Because at the moment of starting the Krishna consciousness, we are not yet in pure devotional service. We are in what is called Mishra Bhakti, devotional service which is mixed with the different modes of material nature, and therefore these material differences are very much visible. We hear in the Bhagavatam what Mishra Bhakti means in essence. The Sanskrit word which is given is Vinadrik. Vinadrik means, comes from Darshan, Drishyate, it means vision, and Vina means a separated vision. At the beginning stages of devotional service, the devotee has very much his own interest in mind. He's not yet so purified as to only have one interest, which everyone else also has, because of purification, the interest of God. I will throw out for your intellectual simulation a few of these separated interests. And if you can identify with one of these interests, you can secretly blush if you wish. In the mode of ignorance, a person performs devotional service often like we know that in Christianity, sometimes the warriors are coming to let their weapons be blessed by the priest so that they can go and kill their enemies. In the mode of ignorance, that separate interest from Krishna, or your interest is so strong that it is compared with an interest of a woman who is officially married, but she has a paramour, an interest separate from the marriage. When will I meet my paramour in these dark, fragrant, romantic rooms of illicit sex? That is Uttama. Officially, she does everything, but her mind is somewhere else. Vinadrik. In the mode of passion, a devotional service is mixed up with the interest to, for him. Yes, he is seeing that another person does better than him in devotional service. Maybe distributes more, or maybe quotes more verses, or whatever. And out of jealousy, he prays to the deity, let me really become a good devotee, let me really, and his mind is that I can show the other person. It is a separated interest. My dear devotees, we could go on, and let's say our complexion was changed and we would have blushing in our face, because many of these things are visible in our own hearts, at least in my heart. It is natural for a beginner in spiritual life to have his own interest, and therefore it is only natural that there will be disunity even amongst those who try to become purified and come to the transcendental level. It's explainable. It's something which, unfortunately, is the reality of life and the real and so on. What to do? In our transcendental philosophy, we are encouraged on our stage to become familiar with what is called Vaishnav Sadachar, or a prominent term in our movement is Vaishnav etiquette. This etiquette will regulate our activities so that although we may not yet perform pure devotional service and therefore may have our own interests, we at least interrelate with each other in a very in a helpful way, in a good way. This is a safeguard, so to say. And the desired aim of following Vaishnava etiquette is to develop some qualities. I wish to give you now an example from the European culture, which will show you a little bit. This example may not be totally, enjoyable for the Indian taste, but please forgive your foreign visitor for his grossness. As children, we were in our childhood the good German families, upper class families, are encouraged to send their children to the dancing school. But the dancing school is really a school where manners are trained to the young boys and girls. Because one understands, if they don't learn manners, then they will have difficulties in their life. So in the dancing school, you learn, for instance, the German way of greeting another person. Like this. You're supposed to greet a person like this. There's some cultural information. And the girls are going, swimming down in their knees like this. You also train how to eat properly and avoid certain disturbing sounds on the table. It is a school of mannerism so that you can function in the society. But you are then taught, the instructor will tell to you in a very important lesson, my dear boys and girls, that the desired outcome of our training is that you do this automatically, that you do them spontaneously, and so on. This is ingrained in your blood, that you avoid the disturbing sounds at the table, and polite and all of this. So the Vaishnava etiquette is something like this. Imagine a room of unruly German or European boys who have no manners. They put together their instructions, and then the teacher makes very clear, this should come spontaneously. It should be in your blood at the end of our training. This is how Vaishnava etiquette is. The teaching is you should develop some qualities at the end, which will help you to interact nicely with devotees. In the Bhagavatam, 4th canto, chapter 12, section 37, we hear of some of these qualities, and I wish to read them to you and give you Prabhupada's perspective on all these qualities. Mainly four qualities. Shanta samadrisha shuddha sarva bhuta nuranjana janjanya tat yuto pada achuta priya bandhava. Translation. Persons who are peaceful, every point, cleansed and purified, and who know the art of pleasing all other living entities, keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. Hear this again, friendship, not quarrel. Keep friendship only with devotees of the Lord. They alone can very easily achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. So we hear here about four excellent qualities which are helpful to keeping friendship amongst devotees. And we hear about those who possess these qualities, which come from following this training of Vaishnava etiquette, help us to achieve the perfection of going back home, back to Godhead. What are these qualities? When you are in a training course, you should know what you wish to attain. Samadrisha, equipoise, the first. What this means, Prabhupada explains in the purpose, a devotee sees everyone on the same spiritual platform. Next time you have a difficult relationship with a devotee, you can apply this. See him on the spiritual platform. Don't see his other opinions, other interests, and so on. Just see he is a soul who also approaches the Lord in his own individual way. And you might see that how from this vision of Samadashi, the quality of tolerance comes forth like a lotus from a muddy ground. Samadrisha, very helpful to remember this quality. Next is Shuddha, or pure. There is this verse in our Ajahn Parali, Yasmare Pundari Kakshama, with Om Apavitra Pavitrova Shavavaksham Gato Shiva, Yasmare Pundari Kakshama, Sadaya Vyantraya Shuji, The priest has to chant this, and the newly initiated have to also chant this mantra. this mantra makes the point that by remembering Vishnu, you automatically become pure, even if you're very impure. So this quality of Shuddha means pure. Prabhupada comments this quality because a devotee constantly chants the Hare Krishna mantra. No contamination of the material world can touch him. When you feel the trash of Bombay entering your heart, making you an envious wretch on the hateful of Vaishnavas, remember the chant, the name from Sri. You will become pure.
Hare Krishna. I actually need to speak a little
forceful now because some of my audience are losing their intense concentration and this is intolerable to anyone who talks. Sarva Bhutan Ranjanaha is the next quality which means pleasing to all living entities. This is also helpful. Prabhupada says, we invite everyone without discrimination, sit down, chant Hare Krishna and take prasadam. So this is very important. Sarva Bhutan, four qualities. Shanta, peaceful, it helps Samadrisha, equipoise or equal vision, Shuddha, pure, and Sarva Bhutan, Nuranjita, pleasing to all the entities. This morning, when we left the Radha Gopina temple, a very wonderful devotee came and the party gave us a Vaishnava literature. Take this. And we were so pleased and we have decided to always remain indebted to this devotee. And this we can learn also. Give some presents to devotees. And this helps that friendship amongst devotees develop. Peaceful, be tolerant, see with a spiritual eye your fellow devotees. Purify your mind and please do something to please. If you can develop this friendly atmosphere in the temple, the preaching will be so powerful that just like bees who are attracted to an open glass of honey, the conditioned soul will come in this atmosphere and not want to leave. This is a secret. Slowly now, we will come to the conclusion or end of the class. We will now hear to make another point. What do devotees do when they are together? What is the oil which makes the spiritual relationship lubricated? Lord Krishna in the Bhagavad Gita, 10th chapter, text 9, talks about the activities of devotee, and Prabhupada makes a very revealing little Prabhupada thing in the translation of the verse, which you will hear in a moment and you will begin to smile. Let's hear the verse. The question is, what do we only do in that situation? The thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me. They think of Krishna. Their lives are fully devoted to my service. They serve. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Three things. They think of Krishna. They do devotional service. enlightening one another and converting about Krishna is very revealing. And the love of Prabhupada will grow when you hear. In the first conversion place, he says, Bodhayantaya means preaching among themselves. The devotees, in other words, who are together, help each other by preaching to each other. My dear devotees, please feel encouraged to develop Vaishnava qualities. Please feel encouraged to follow Vaishnava etiquette. They preach. They are not afraid to talk about it. Of course, you
have to mildly preach, not aggressively preach.
But preach, huh? Yes. This is what devotees do. Let us go back to the start of this section of the class, how we can approach the Lord through approaching His devotees. We were hearing of the Sachetas who were apparently pleasing the Lord because of their mutual relationship and friendship. Krishna says he's so pleased by the Sachetas, and those who remember the Sachetas every evening of every day will become friendly with their brothers and with all living entities. There is a very nice example in Vaishnava tradition of devotees who attracted the Lord by talking about Him and by being friendly to each other. Srila Prabhupada talks to Chaitanya Charitamrita about this devotee. Relating how three of the Alvas, namely Bhuta Yogi, Sara Yogi, and Branta Yogi, saw Narayan in person, when they took shelter at the house of a Brahmana in the village of Dehani, the Papanamrita of the Sri Sampradaya describes Narayan as follows. We will soon hear how Narayan is described, but let us learn from the third part of the lecture that we need to introduce Narayan now a little bit. We will do this by talking about the three great devotees, Bhuta Yogi, Sara Yogi, and Granta Yogi. I believe it was a dark night. The rain was coming down, and the three lonely travelers were on their way to Sri Lanka. In Bhuta Yogi, Alva was going, and the rain was coming, and he could really not continue his journey. And he saw a little hut in the village of Gehari. There was this hut. Leading to the hut was a little shed. I hope it's the right English. The cow is kept. I think in villages we see that very often. Our Raj Bihari must be able to tell us some of the architecture of an origin house. It's common. Even in Europe, you have these little sheds leaning against them. Therefore, so the Bhuta Yogi saw this hut and was so relieved. He just knocked at the door and said, can I take shelter in this little shed? Of course, there's a Brahmana. And Shasha said, the shed was just big enough that he could stretch out and fall asleep. When he was asleep, he was knocking.
Yes, who is that?
Oh, it's a tired traveler. It's a very wet outside. Can I please come in?
So, Bhuta Yogi said, come in.
There is a place for one person to lie down, there is a place for two to sit.
So then, the
Without much introduction, but late in the night, traveler, is a whole cold outside. Can I come in? Oh, yes, they say. But there is place for two to sit. There is place for three to stand. Come in. So without their knowledge, three devoting men by the relation of the Lord. These three, Abhuta Yogi, Sara Yogi, and Brahma Yogi. And of course, they still can't among themselves. Much is that, and can't ask them, they talk about Krishna. So then, as the sun was rising, they were lost in Krishna Katha. And we know that they are ever devoting talk about Krishna, glorify Krishna. What happens? Krishna becomes attractive to appear there. This is verse where the Lord says, I'm not in my kunta. I'm not in the heart of the yogi. I'm there, my devotee, glorify me. So, when the sun was just getting up, the devotee saw Lord Narayan, which is described in the Prasadamrita of the Sri Sampradaya. So I want to read this to you, it's so wonderful. But please don't, please listen attentively. They saw the lotus eyes of Vishnu, the supreme personality of Godhead, mounted on Garuda and holding Lakshmi, the goddess of fortune, to his chest. He resembles a bluish rain cloud with flashing lightning, and in two of his forehead he held a conscious in his lips. His arms stretched down to his knees, and all his beautiful limbs were smeared with sandalwood and decorated with glittering ornaments. He wore yellow cloth, and by either side stood his energy, Bhumi and Leela. Can you imagine? They had the darshan of the Lord with his energy. So they became so ecstatic, it is described, that spontaneously out of their heart they wanted to offer an aarti. But because they didn't have anything, they were poor beggars from the outward perspective. Inwardly or spiritually, they were rich in bhakti. They composed a prayer and they said, the earth is the land, the ocean is the deep, and the sun is the fire. This land we are offering you, Narayana. When you go to the jewel beach, you can meditate if you wish. Then the land, the ocean which you see is the ghee, and the sun is the land which is offered to Radha Rasamari. That's wonderful. This is wonderful meditation. This is from the Vaishnava tradition, this meditation. So, these things happen. Krishna becomes attractive, that's the point, by mutual relationship of friendship. This is so important, and it is must very important at this time. Let each one of us think what is necessary in his or her life to become qualified for proper Vaishnava relationship. When we can enter into this kingdom of Vaishnava relationship, we will attract the Supreme Personality of Godhead into our midst, and that is really the fulfillment. who came to his help in the most difficult moment of his life, that is the battle of Kurukshetra, the beginning and also the end, when
ego problem. Ego is the interpretation. That is the information about it.
not something to become further. It is to be expected, nothing dramatic, and you feel the consequences, but you look at the impartial object as well, and it is a must have conditioned choice. So, we have to understand Krishna consciousness is so high, it is so transcendental, it is a Vishuddha Tattva. It is beyond the mode of material nature. There is no train of material thoughts and concepts are there. Therefore, Vishuddha Tattva, not even Shuddha Tattva, Vishuddha Tattva. And so we see the Krishna consciousness. Inspiration will always come from above. Therefore, a devotee, all intelligent, wants to always take the low position in his life. It's relatively easy to become high in this world. What is difficult is to become low. This is what we have to practice in spiritual life. Because only in a low position can you receive from the higher position. Like in geometry or geology, we learn water always will flow from the higher position to the lower position. In the same way, Krishna conscious revelation, Krishna conscious inspiration will always come from the higher to the lower. Therefore, those who wish to be in Krishna consciousness wish to become low. They don't want to become high. They don't want to have position. They wish to become low, but then they can get from the high. This is a reverse logic. It is a reverse of the material understanding of conducting the life. They will fight to become low. Don't praise me. No, they're dangerous for me. Those who praise me are my enemies. This is offensive by Srila Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur. And he felt like this. There was a person who always followed Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur around. Either in the midst of lecture or for sure at the end, he would get up and hurl abuses on Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur. Then after some time, due to his mature Vaishnava aparad, he died in unnatural death. And Bhaktivedanta Saraswati Thakur was informed of it. At that moment, he jumped. The child, the natural result of Vaishnava apparatus, destructive burden, he cried. Because this opportunity was now gone to be lower down. So you are no lecture with some of him up at the lecture and said, Dashinana Maharshi, it was the most foolish, the most uneducated, the most uninspiring lecture I have heard during all my years in Krishna consciousness. Thank you very much. Obviously, since an early one, Bhakta can say, oh, he is a sinner. But I personally have learned, after being involved in this situation of disunity and having devotees tell me the best invention how I actually a very bad person. It hurts so much to feel, no, no, you are actually harming the movement of Prabhupada. But he's only seeing the world according to his virtue, and he has to see it like this from this perspective. This is called people who talk about conflict resolution. A walk, if you want to understand it first, you have to walk in this property. Sometimes you begin to say, I have acted in a way where, for such a girl, you must have understood. So, in future, if I don't want to explain with him like this, I will be clearer in my expression so that I'm not concerned. I will say, it's a deep subject, a long subject, which requires much more. Much more intelligent to really address and more analytical study. This is all I can do in this context. Hare Krishna. Are there any other questions? Excuse me? Yes, and for one more question, and she runs out of time here.
Things like
I know that in my own life, I was so hard to face when I came to the temple. There is no talking, you can come to the temple, but some being so hard to face. You can ask questions, but not like this. And now I smile when I hear the same argument which I believe someone else might say, you know, say, Hare Krishna, let us end here and let us give the summary in one sentence. Heaven door is gone in our minds, a friendly, mutually friendly relationship among Vaishnavas. Very important to spread the mercy of the Supreme Lord and Mother of the Godhead. And very important for our beautiful temple, Radharatnakari temple, which is, you are living every day here, coming for someone like us who is coming from Europe, where we don't have such buildings which are constructed as temples. They are the only buildings who were constructed for living purposes of the when you enter here, it's like, I can't believe it. I brought you before, but it's always better for the day. So I think we can, Prabhupada has given us this place for us, our place where we can do service. So we can also now think about this stage of getting into a mutual friendly relationship by a third learning for this Vaishnava etiquette and following that. That will help us also. Oh, this is to be an open honey glass for conditioned soul. Śrīla Prabhupāda jai, Śrī Gauri Sāi ki jai, Śrī Rādhārāsa Nihāri ki jai, Śrī Śrīla Lakṣman Hanuman ki jai, Gopēda Nandī Hariyako, Śrīla Rādhārāsa Nihāri ki jai.